Good morning. The reading today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, and then 9 to 13. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Well, we are on the fourth and final message relating to spirit-filled living. And I am trusting that God will have helped us to understand and apply to our lives these truths that we've been looking at, because it's so vital to Christian living. We are saved by grace and brought into a relationship with God whereby His Spirit not only indwells us but has actually changed us, given us a whole new nature inside. We've seen how Mission Impossible is made possible, the impossibility of trying to live the Christian life or live a life that pleases God just by rules and laws, just by ourselves, like the law of gravity. It's always there, and we have the sinful nature which is always there, but by the power of the Spirit we are free to live above that and overcome that law of sin and death. And we also saw that the commandment was to be being filled, that it's an ongoing, every day, every moment call for us, a command for us, really, to be filled, to be being filled all the time with the Spirit of God, which will then produce the fruit of the Spirit. And then last time we saw that we're to keep in step with the Spirit, that our ongoing daily living is to be sensitive to the Spirit, nudging us, challenging us, rebuking us, calling us, moving us to live a life that is holy and righteous and good and loving and everything else that God is and calls us to be as well. Today then we're looking at the final one, which is spiritual, I would call it transformation. There's a well-known phrase that has been, I suppose, a buzzword among Christians for the last number of years, and that's called spiritual formation, which is really what we're talking about, but I'd like to call it spiritual transformation. A farmer up north somewhere found in his paddock somewhere a little goose, gosling, a chick of the Canadian geese variety. And didn't know where it had come from. There were no geese around. So he took this little gosling and put it among his chickens. We call them in Australia chooks, the chickens and hens and so on in his farm. And this little thing went around pecking around and just followed the example of the hens and the other chickens that were there on the farm. And day after day it just regarded itself, thought itself as being one of them. And this went on for many months, and this little gosling grew and grew and began to get quite a bit bigger than the other chickens that were on the farm. But it kept on digging around in the grass and finding little bits to eat and just saw itself as another chook or chicken. Then one day, it was getting colder and colder and some Canadian geese flew over the top in the sky of the farm. And they honked, and immediately this little chick, this little gosling, who was now a bit bigger, looked up, recognized the sound. There was something that resonated in the heart and mind of this little gosling, and it saw the geese up there, so it lifted its wings and flew and joined them. Now I read that story years ago, and I don't know how true it is, but it seems like a real possibility. But it tells me as a great illustration of what we're talking about today, that we have been brought into a relationship with God whereby we are in a position where we can lift our wings and soar, where we can actually overcome the sinful nature and the law of sin and death, as the Bible calls it. But we sometimes are just pecking around and don't see ourselves as being able to do that. We know the power of sin. We know how selfish we can be. We know how weak we are when it comes to overcoming some besetting sins. But God wants us to know that we can lift our wings, we can trust in Him, and there can be a transformation, a real change in our lives. And as we enter into 2018, I would encourage you to see this year as a year where you actually see transformation more and more in your life, as I will trust and look to do in mine. So Jesus Christ is a come-as-you-are Savior. We come to Him as we are. We don't have to be anything, we don't have to reach a certain level of goodness or do anything to be accepted and saved by His grace. He's a come-as-you-are Savior, but He's not a stay-as-you-were. He calls us to a life of change, a revolution really, a total transformation that He wants to and does work in our lives. Now, these two verses at the beginning of chapter 12 are what I'm going to emphasize today, and I'll spend a little bit of time just briefly on the rest of the chapter after. But first of all, these first two verses of chapter 12 begin with the word therefore. And actually, what he's saying here, the Apostle Paul is saying, all that I've said in the first 11 chapters, especially the first 8, because chapters 9 to 11 are like a parenthesis talking about Israel, but through to end of chapter 8, where he's talked about the salvation that we have through faith in Christ alone, who died for us and rose again, that we've been set free from sin, and we are now able by the power of the Spirit in chapter 8 to live above the sinful nature, and we can actually fly. We can actually be transformed. Now he's saying, therefore, knowing all those truths, knowing this to be true, he says, I'm going to call you to do these two things, that are in verses 1 and 2, which we'll come to. I want to mention that spiritual transformation, which we're going to be looking at, I'll put a definition up there, which is it's the intentional growth. Intentional. It's something that I choose to do. It doesn't just happen because we happen to have the Holy Spirit living in us and we have a new nature. It is an intentional growth of believers into the likeness of Christ. where His character is formed in us, transforming us. So it's formed in us, His character, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So we'll see this coming out in what we share and think about today. Christian transformation is both immediate and ongoing. It's both a new creation and it's a, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, that we are being changed into His likeness with ever increasing glory. You think about that? Glory. That as we become more like Christ, there's the glory of His beauty and character is seen in us. And you know, the greatest way to witness for the Lord and to be an influence for Him is to let His light shine. Let Him live His life fully in us and to be transformed into His image. And it goes on to say that this change into His likeness with ever-increasing glory comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So it is a spiritual formation that we're talking about. So first of all then, transformation starts with a new devotion. Verse 1, therefore by the mercies of God I urge you, says the Apostle Paul, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Offer your bodies. The call here is for us to actually offer without being forced on us. He says, I urge you. He doesn't say, I'm commanding you. He could easily say that. I command you to offer your bodies. No, he's saying, I urge you. This is something that has to come from within. No one can force it on you, not even God. I have to choose to offer my body, my physical body, which is the expression of who I am inside. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart come all these sins he talks about. And so he revealed in that, and as we've seen in previous weeks, that what we are inside is then manifested with our tongues, with our looks, with our actions, what we do with our hands and our feet, where we go, and so on. So your bodies, which express who you really are and what your heart is, our bodies are to be given as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. That's where it starts. It's something that comes from the heart, to offer, to yield. Actually, the word there is the technical word used in the Bible, in the Old Testament, for sacrifices. When they came with a sacrifice, they offered it. And that word offer there is that exact word. So he's saying, just like the Israelites gave and offered their sacrifices to God, I want you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice? That's an anomaly. Sacrifices are killed. But it means that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, the Bible says, because Christ lives in us. So we are giving ourselves as a continual, and it's in the continual tense. So it's saying in the present continuous tense, keep on offering yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice. You're not going to die, but you are offering it to God, your body. The contrast is here. If in my heart I surrender my body to myself, to be ruled by myself, then I can still be religious. I can still pray. I can come to church and even be regarded as a disciple. I can give money. I can live uprightly. I can care for the needy. I can serve the church community in service, in ministry. I can do all those things and still be serving myself. But there's going to be a problem along the pathway, because the problem is my heart isn't synced with His, and it's coming from a heart that is self-focused. And so true transformation, see, if I'm serving myself and doing all these things, there's no transformation occurring. I'm just following what I'm expected to do. But a heart transformation means that I offer myself as a living sacrifice so that I am then under His rule, so that He is my Lord and I follow Him. Now, if we come to verse 2 here, where it says to then, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that will never happen if verse 1 doesn't take place, if we don't offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because if I'm not truly devoted to God, when I am influenced by the world and its thinking, its values and its beliefs, I will adjust and sort of much easily fit into the world and try and stay as a Christian, but not be obeying this, not to be conformed to the world. I will fight that. I will resist it. Because I haven't first come to verse 1 and said, I offer my body as a living sacrifice. You're my Lord. You are King. You are God over me. You are the sovereign ruler of my heart. So it starts with a new devotion. Next, it flows, that is, transformation flows from a renewed mind. And so we see it says, do not be conformed or do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed there is the word metamorpho in the Greek, which you will recognize is the word that we get our word metamorphosis. Remember, when a little grub makes its own little cocoon and then transforms itself into a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. There's a transformation that takes place. And that's exactly what this word means. It is a change. And he says here, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The non-conformity to the world and the transformation by the renewal of the mind go together. You can't have one without the other. So let's look at them both. First of all, a command to renounce the world's pattern. The world around us, not just people, it's not just this physical world we live in. It is the pattern of, world system. It's the values and beliefs and morality of the world around us. And this has always been an issue right from the beginning, that those who want to follow God's way are immediately faced up with the challenge of the world's influence and the world system being so radically different to God's way. So we are called to, as it says in J.B. Phillips' translation of this verse, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world around you influence you to the point where that controls what you believe or don't believe about issues that are real in our world today. Don't let the world system influence you about the way you should live or not live, the things you should or shouldn't do, and the beliefs that you should have and how you respond to people and all the rest of it. There's a whole plethora of the values and the beliefs of the world system as contrasted to Jesus' way. You see, if you do not conform to the world, you've immediately got a problem. And this always has been the problem for Christians down through history. Because there's suddenly a divide. And if you don't conform to the world in our culture here now, then there's something wrong with you. You're out of touch. If you stand up for righteousness, you're a bigot. Even if you don't do the bigot thing, you just say, I believe that homosexuality is sin because the Bible says so. Immediately you're regarded as a bigot. Why? Because you stood up for the truth, what the Bible teaches, consistently, without any question? Yes. There's a challenge immediately. And if you, and I'll go back to it, if you go back to verse 1, and you don't deal with offering my body, myself as a living sacrifice to God, and you're suddenly faced with a challenge like that, then if you haven't, you'll just mix in with the world, you'll sink in with the world. And so if you want to be transformed, you have to be renewed in your mind, but first it takes not conforming to the world, the pattern, and the thinking, the values of the world. The word actually means external form, to the form and mold of behavior in sync with the patterns and standards and values around us. And there's only another time when this word conform is used in the New Testament, and it's in 1 Peter 1:14, where it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. So this is a call for us to recognize that by following Jesus, by being committed to Him, transformation starts with us being willing to say, no, I will stand on the truth of God's Word and I will live according to the Spirit of God, not according to what the world seeks to influence me into doing and believing. The next is a call to renew the mind. It says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Or as the New Living Translation has it, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Our minds are the controlling influence in all that we say and do and feel. The mind is paramount. It's central to that. If you go back to chapter 1, you find there, let me read some of these verses to you, that it was the mind of the ancient people who turned away from God, the fallen humanity turning away from God. It says that since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, so they were without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or give thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, but they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for images. And then it goes on, verse 24, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires and purity, degrading their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Get it? The problem back at the beginning and the problem down through history has always been that when people turn away from the truth of God to believe a lie, it is in order that they might live the way they want to live. They suppress the truth, it says in verse 18. They hold the truth away from themselves in order that they might live sinful lives. And it happens again today. So we need to be transformed. The mind caused the problem back then. The mind creates the new way now. Be renewed in your mind in order to be transformed. This word renewed is again used in the same context of the same area of belief in Ephesians 4, where it says to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, the spirit of your mind? Have you thought about that? What is the spirit of your mind? See, it's not just the data. It's not just the knowledge in your mind he's talking about there. He's talking about the spirit, the milieu, the atmosphere, the attitude of your mind, the mindset, the, if you like, the bent of your mind. Now, I'm not going to be political. I'm going to use a political illustration, but I'm not saying anything political here, all right? So immediately, everyone's looking up. There are people with a mind that is bent to the left. And there are people who have a mind bent to the right politically. And you know where they are because they'll either watch Fox News or CNN. But when you have your mind bent a certain way politically, whichever way it is, it's so hard to come out of that and look objectively at the actual facts because your mind is bent that way or that way. Both are guilty. When your mind is bent towards self, self-fulfillment, selfishness, the sinful bent of our minds, the spirit of our minds, it is almost, well, it's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit to change that. But that's what needs to be changed. That's the whole point of this. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Say no to the world's influence and trying to make you think and operate its way. And now be renewed, a new spirit of your mind, a new attitude of mind, a new perspective, a new way of thinking. Be renewed in your mind. As I say, a New Living Translation, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So it's not just educating the mind. It's a mind that is engaged with the truth and results in change. So if I read in the Bible that I should love my neighbor as myself, and I take that seriously and that I engage with that and say, yes, my neighbor is in need. I will go and help that person. But when it says in God's word that I should forgive that person who hurt me, forget it. You know, they are the ones that need to say sorry, not me. And our minds are bent and we need to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. The minds that are willing to take God's word, engage with it and make it change my life. And if we look at God's word and we say, I'm going to, every day I read God's word, I'm going to make sure that I'm living that out in my life, it will transform us. Transform us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. You see, these verses that I'm just spending time on, they are actually an expression of the same thing that God calls us to do, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice that comes from the heart. Offering. With all our soul. With all our mind. To love the Lord your God with all your mind. That your mind loves God. My mind will take what God says and allow the bent of my mind to be changed to following Him and obeying Him. D.L. Moody said, the scriptures were not given for information, but for transformation. And then if you go on to the rest of this chapter, you'll find him saying things like, for the grace given to me, verse 3, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. He just said, Your mind needs to be changed to bring transformation about. Well, here's the first one. Think of yourself with sober thinking, with honest, true, real view of yourself. He doesn't say think of yourself as nothing. He doesn't say, he says don't think of yourself as too highly, but think with sober thinking, as you really are, as God made you. And so on. He goes through the rest of the chapter. So the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together. I want to encourage you to see the absolute importance of this. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are co-workers in allowing us to change our mind and to be transformed. And finally, the transformation is shown in practical living. And you read the rest of the chapter and it's all there. And into chapter 13 and 14, through the rest of the book, it's all an expression of this new transformation as a result of the renewal of our minds. For example, our function in the church committee. Now, can I say, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul says that this transformation occurs and is shown in church, a Christian community. Because that's where it's really tested. When we are in a church community, when we're not isolated just back at home, sure, it reveals itself there too, in your husband, wife, and your family, and neighbors, and so on. But he's putting the, in this chapter, putting the emphasis on our, living and working and serving and being in a church community. And he says, first of all, our function in the church community, you've got gifts, use them. Change your thinking. I'm here to serve. I'm not here as a consumer. Consumerism is the biggest problem in the church today. I come to church for what I can get, what I can receive, what I can be blessed, so I can get people to pray for my needs and so on. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, that we should be blessed and we should come with a positive mindset and be willing to share for people to pray for us. But our mindset needs to be, I'm here to serve. I've been given gifts. And as it makes it really clear here, you know, use your gifts. You're part of a body. You're part of a church community. You're there to actually use what God has given you for the blessing and benefit of others. Our function in the community, our fellowship in the community. He goes on to talk about fellowship where we're to love with sincerity or without hypocrisy. In other words, authentic love. We don't say, I love you, and then turn around and speak evil about that person to someone else. Oh, you know what they said? Let love be sincere, without hypocrisy. Love with commitment. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's a mindset. That's a bent of the mind, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Love with respect. Honor one another above yourselves. I want to honor you, not me. That whole mindset is so different to what I would naturally do in my sinful self. Love with service, never lacking in zeal, keep your spiritual fervor, be devoted in prayer. Love with care, an open hand, share with God's people who are in need, an open home, practice hospitality. One of the greatest and most important things that Christians can do is show hospitality. Love with empathy, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Love with humility. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. A whole mindset change. Love with sincerity, sensitivity. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Be sensitive to others' needs and concerns. And finally, our witness in the world. Do not repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. 2018. Do you know what? Looking back over 2017, as we come to the last day of this year, has there been any evidence of transformation in your life? Has there been any evidence of transformation in my life? As I thought about that last night, I was thinking, hey, it's hard to determine. And as I thought, I gave time to thinking about it. Yes, there have been some areas that I have worked on and seen change. But then I realized I've got three goals that I set at the beginning of last year, this year. And those, I won't tell you what they are, but... And I can measure what those goals have, what I've achieved in those areas of those goals. And if you don't set goals, then you don't really know. You look back on the year and think, well, maybe I might have changed in some ways. What I encourage you to do is to seriously go home and prayerfully consider what goals you would like to set for this next year. For you, personally, in growth, in transformation. It might be the use of your gifts. It might be growing in patience or love or ministry and helping or whatever. I don't know. They're your goals, not mine. You choose what you believe God would have you change. And maybe there's some area that you struggle with in your personal life that becomes then a goal so that you look at the end of 2018, you look back and say, yes, I set these goals. And by the way, if you put them in your quiet time diary so that every time you have a daily quiet time, you remind yourself of those goals, so you pray that you will actually be working towards it and it reminds you. So anyway, through that year, as you then come to the end of 2018, you'll be able to look back and say, yes, those are the goals I set, and I believe I have seen change as I've followed the Lord in this year. So I encourage you to do that. Make it a real serious attempt to be transformed by the renewal of your mind that He may be glorified. Let's sing the final song, which is along these lines, and is a song that I would ask you to enter into the words of and say, change my heart, O God, make it ever new. I want to be like you. Let's sing this from our hearts as we finish up this year and as we trust God for the year to come.